to be a servant and to set us free from sin. And that's who I believe he was, 'cause that's who I believe. And I think we should get ready, 'cause it's time for us to
anybody want to take a guess who that was? Larry Norman, yeah. I've kind of gone back to my, I don't know what, I've had this like retro thing going on. And suddenly I'm like all excited about Larry Norman again. So I've been buying songs off Amazon. That song kind of captures some of what I want to talk about today. And so I wanted to start with that. This isn't a Mother's Day sermon, so sorry for you mothers. I love you mothers out there. I have great respect for you, but I got to preach what God told me to preach. So he didn't tell me to preach a Mother's Day sermon. So the question I want to ask this morning is, who is Jesus? And this song talked about that some. Some say he's this, some say he's that. Who is Jesus? It's a question that has been really burning in my mind the past 4 weeks. And maybe you think, well, Rob should already know this. After all, he's a pastor. What is he asking this basic question for? But it's been, I don't think there's been a day that has gone by the last 4 weeks where I have not wrestled with that question and thought about it and gone to sleep thinking about it and wake up thinking about it. Who is Jesus? Well, a few weeks ago, Jesus got my attention. I was out in New Jersey, and it wasn't anything earth-shattering. No flashing lights or anything like that. But Jesus very clearly grabbed a hold of me and said, I want you to think about this question. Who is Jesus? I talk a little bit about this in the current issue of the LCF Connection, which is on the table in the back, and you maybe got an email of that. But who is Jesus? I mean, this experience of what I had in New Jersey just kind of left me anxious and restless and a little bit unsettled. It was clear the message that he was giving to me, and that was that, Rob, there is so much more that I want you to understand and experience than what you currently understand and experience. I knew it was true, but I also knew that once again, like so many times in the past, that I have somewhat settled. I don't know if you identify with that, but I go through periods where I just kind of settle into a comfortable spot of who Jesus is and who God is and what I'm supposed to do and what that all looks like. And I think I got it all figured out, and I think I got him figured out. And Jesus was very clear to me, no, you don't have me figured out. There's a whole bunch more out there that you don't understand. It kind of reminds me of our cat. A cat story, all right, just for you, Vicky. But our cat, it confuses me sometimes how it acts. Once in a while, you know, we're not that generous with the cat, but once in a while we'll have some leftover meat from the table, a piece of chicken or something like that, and, you know, some really nice food, and we'll put it down for the cat to eat, and she'll come up and kind of sniff a little bit, maybe chew a little bit on it. But after a while, she just kind of wanders off and goes out in the garage and eats her dried cat food. And I think, what is with that? Why would a cat, you know, I mean, if you would you take chicken or would you take dried cat food from Walmart? It's confusing to me. Why? And there's a lot of other things about cats that are confusing to me, but I won't get into that this morning. But It kind of reminds me of that. And I look at myself and I look at us sometimes and I think, you know, we've been seated at this great banquet, you know, as believers. And it seems sometimes that we nibble on the appetizers, you know, maybe hang around a little bit, but pretty soon you find us out in the alley rummaging through the trash for something to eat. I look at it and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would we do that? Maybe we're like cats, I don't know, but why would we do that? I think Jeremiah describes this phenomenon well in chapter 2 of the book of Jeremiah, verse 13. He says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And this reminds me of a conversation that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman at the well. You remember that story? Jesus asked her for a drink, and she doesn't know who he is. And so what does he say to her? He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Why would I settle for anything? Why would I settle for cistern water when I could have living water? I've struggled with that question because I know what happens. I know what happens in my life. I know what happens in your life. Why do we settle for cistern water when we could have this living water that is made available to us? Why do God's people settle? I mean, non-believers don't know any better, right, it seems? But why do God's people settle? I've thought a lot about this question. And like I said, I would go to bed tonight just kind of churning on this for a couple of weeks. And I prayed a lot about it. And I've settled on a fairly simple answer, and you'll probably be disappointed because, Rob, you should know this already. It's not a significant revelation, but it's one that I need to come to grips with again. And I think we see this in this brief interaction with the Samaritan woman. If you knew who it was that you were talking to, if you only knew, you would ask, and he would give you living water. Jesus is saying, if you only knew who I was, who I am, you would ask, and I would give you living water. And that is one of the questions that I want to just look at again today with you. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? How well do you know him? In what way do you know him? And I heard Jesus telling me, Rob, you don't really know who I am, do you? And this is the reality that Jesus has been impressing on my heart over the last few weeks. Well, I thought I did. I mean, I grew up in the church like some of you. I confessed my belief in him as a young child. I was baptized as a teenager. I've been through Sunday school, through youth group. I've been to Rosedale Bible Institute. Yeah, it used to be Institute. I've been a small group leader, a worship leader. I've been an elder. I've been, well, a pastor now for 6 years. I should know this, right? But yet this voice has been insistent. Rob, you really don't know me yet. You really don't know me yet. And it has been a process that, as I look back, has been repeated in my life, where I have come to grips with this question again. Rob, there's so much more out there that you don't know about Jesus and who he is. It shakes my world. You see, Like you, I tend to put up apparatus and machinery and everything that I can depend on sometimes. And Christ likes to come in and just bust that stuff apart. And say, you know what? You don't need any of that stuff. You need me. So that stuff starts to shift and crumble. Now, it wasn't like I was blinded with a sudden light as Paul was. But I found myself asking that same question that he asked. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not having a crisis of faith, but simply the realization that once again, that if I knew him, things would be different. There are some things that would be different. Not perfect, but different. And I want you to be honest with yourself. How well do you know Jesus? If you knew who Jesus was, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. But instead, you settled for plain, ordinary, stagnant cistern water. It doesn't make any sense, but it's the truth. You see, if you knew him, you would ask, and he would give you living water. And Rob, you keep saying that, but that's what I want us to think about. If you knew him, things would be different. Not perfect, but different. Well, if we go with some of the current statistics, there are likely some of you who struggle regularly with pornography or some kind of sexual temptation. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do about that? You're going to try harder to beat it? You're going to give up, resign to the fact this is something you're always going to deal with? Well, I bring that question back again. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You see, if you knew him, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. There are others who are struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness. Your heart has some deep hurts that just won't go away. What are you going to do about that? You've tried to push it aside. You've tried to even just push it deeper. So maybe you don't think about it. Pretend it's not there. But I'm wondering if you know Jesus. Because if you did, you would ask him and he would give you living water. There are churches who haven't seen much fruit over the past few years. They haven't been seeing people be saved, come to know the Lord. Some haven't seen a baptism in maybe even a couple years or even more. What should they do? We start an evangelism program, chastise their people for not reaching out, try harder, be better, work harder, or maybe just accept it as normal. Well, other churches aren't doing that great either. Maybe it's just the way things are. So maybe that's just normal. Status quo. Don't worry about it. Maybe the fields aren't as white and ready for harvest as they used to be. But I come back to that question again. Do you know Jesus? Do they know Jesus? If they did, they would ask him and he would give living water. I don't know what your situation is. I don't pretend to know. But I do worry about us as Christians. Well, it's not exactly worry, but I'm concerned. It seems to me that many of us have settled. We've settled for a pretty ordinary Jesus, one that fits in something that we can understand. We've settled for that kind of a Jesus. In fact, it seems that the church doesn't even really talk much about him anymore, if you look at the church as a whole. Jesus is old hat, been there, done that, nothing new under the sun. And there are many of us who could recite the theological proofs of who Jesus is, but I still come back to that question. Do you really know him? Do you really know him? Well, for one, I think it's a lifelong pursuit. A lifelong pursuit. And I don't see that many people sometimes really, really pursuing him. I wonder about that. I wonder about myself sometimes. If we really know him, what in the world are we doing drinking cistern water? Not only drinking it, but calling it good. It's okay, water's fine. A little musty, but it's as good as it's going to get. Is this really the evangel? I'm wondering. Is this really the evangel that we have, the good news? Is this the best news that we have for people? It's very easy to see why this really wouldn't work too well. No wonder no one told the Samaritan woman to evangelize. Later in the passage, we see that once she knew who Jesus was, she immediately went out to the whole town, told everybody who he was and what he had done for her. Just happened. No program. She didn't have to learn all these things about her faith first before she was ready to go out and share. She just went out and did it. From the words of Isaiah the prophet, "Come all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. For you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Will you come to the waters, you who are thirsty, the living waters? He offers it freely to you. Your hard work is not going to get it. It's not going to get you there. You're completely dependent upon his grace. The price has been paid. Will you buy milk and wine with money? Without cost? Without money and without cost? Will you come to the waters? Why would you spend your money on what is not bread? Why pay for cistern water? Would you recognize that you're exerting a lot of energy on things that really aren't worth a whole lot? But instead, would you eat what is good and enjoy the richest of fare? Would you delight yourself in the Lord so that he can give you the desires of your heart? Would you discover and understand what it is to truly live, to experience the abundant life that Christ offers? And I believe this morning Jesus is calling you. He's calling me. He's calling us to a deeper relationship with Him, to not settle for where we're at, but to yearn for more, because there is more. There's so much more. This morning, He's given you yet another opportunity to turn towards Him, and I want to invite you to come. It may be significant for you to come forward this morning. So I'd invite you to come if you would like. And gather around the front here and pray. And I would like to pray with you. To seek the Lord while He may be found. To call upon Him while He is near. So Keith, would you like to come and play on the piano for a little while? And we will just spend some time in prayer. I don't know where you're at this morning. I only know what God has been speaking to me about, and that's what I have to share about, is what God is speaking to me about. So if it's important for you to come forward, I'd invite you to do that. Let's just bow in prayer. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I affirm you, ladies, who have come this morning, and those of you as well, I know others of you have come. You've already come maybe earlier this week, as Jesus has been drawing you. Lord, we come to you. We seek you. We are turning from lesser things and turning to you. Lord, you promise if we ask, it will be given. If we seek, we will find. That if we knock, the door will be open. And this morning we are asking, we are seeking, and we are knocking. Fill us with your Spirit. And in Paul's words, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe." Amen.